When you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a click away. Order online and pick up at your local store. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What's up, everybody? It's Nicoya Blue back in here with another episode. And our special guest today is Joanne Fawcett. And she is in Oregon, and she's out here with us today to talk to us about her story, tell us her story. So how are you doing today, Joanne?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Great, great, great. So let's get into
It's a sunny morning here. It's good. It's not raining.
Yes. Yes. And I've never been to Oregon, but I would like to go one day.
It's lovely.
I believe it. So what inspired you to pursue degrees in both film production and accounting?
Well, let's see. I've been a bookkeeper for over 40 years. So I did that first. And then the last guy I was married to, he was a filmmaker when he was in high school and college. And, you know, after we got together, he said, oh, you know, maybe you want to take some film classes. So I went to the local community college and enrolled in their film production program and ended up getting an associate degree in that. And then shortly after that, I finally finished up my associate in accounting degree. So I didn't do much with the film, except I still appreciate the film. And I was going to do some, you know, films and things for my nonprofit. But it was fun. It was totally different from my normal realm of things I do. And I had fun doing it. I made some good friends. So, you know, it's always good to go beyond your normal routine.
Yes, it is. It's good to explore different things. Everything doesn't have to be linear. You know, some people say focus on one thing. I don't believe in that. I enjoy being multidimensional.
Yes. That's great.
It makes life spicy, you know, and intriguing. If the person can handle it.
You can handle it.
So you were married 7 times.
Yes, ma'am.
So how did that happen? And what did you learn from that experience?
Oh, well, I'll tell you, I grew up in the 50s and 60s, and it's like, you know, happy family, white picket fence is what you grow up thinking. Life is just, that's what it's like. And then when I was 12, I joined the Mormon church. So it's very family oriented, you know, get married, have a happy family, have babies, the whole nine yards. It's like, okay, well, that, you know, I want that. So that sounds good. And so I got married for the first time, and he turned out to be a jerk, and we lasted about a year. And so what I've learned is that one of the things I've learned is, and this is the same reason I got married many times. I married like 5 different Mormons and 2 non-Mormons. And especially for the Mormons, it's like, well, okay, if we go to the same church, we must naturally be wanting to have our life be, go down the married path that you see all the other good Mormons doing. And, you know, of course, we'll want to have lots of kids and raise them in the church and do this and that and serve. You know, people and God and all that stuff. And not everybody's like that. Sometimes they look better at church. Excuse me. Sorry. Sometimes they look better at church than they are at home.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes they look great at church and they're hitting you at home. And sometimes, you know, when you're in your 20s and even maybe early 30s, the hormones are raging. And you're not supposed to have sex before marriage when you're a Mormon, and you're not supposed to live together. So just a lot of things didn't happen that I would certainly do differently now.
Wow. I'm
sorry. Yeah. And then after husband number 2, he actually was not a member, and he committed suicide, but then I had a daughter, and, you know, I just assumed she needed a father.
Yeah.
And again, it's like, oh, I've got to find her, a good father. I've got to, you know, get married and have this happy little family. And little did I know that we would have been better off without me trying to keep finding a father for her, because I kept picking the wrong stepfathers for her and, you know, that were abusive and mean and not, you know, just more jerks. And it's like she said, you know, Mom, I had a better role model with my uncle than I ever had with any of the stepfathers. It's like, yeah, I'm so sorry. So, you know, one of the main lessons I learned is taking care of yourself, knowing what you need, and remember to stand up for yourself and really, and not in a selfish way, but know who you are and know what you want, because now I have a very specific bucket list of what I want in another partner. I don't ever need to get married again. You know, seven is plenty. And, seven is plenty. And the last guy was not a member of the church. And he's actually in prison and he's been there for a very long time. He was there when I met him. He was there the whole time I was with him, and he's still there and he'll probably be there the rest of his life. And we met through one of my friends, because her husband was at the same prison at the particular time we met. And she came home and said, "Oh, I met this really nice guy. He's, you know, visiting his mom. He's really smart." I said, "Oh, smart would be a nice kind of boyfriend." And so we just got along really well. And he was charming and educated and had lots of great stories from growing up in this military family and traveling and la, 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 la. And turns out he was a narcissist. But that relationship lasted 25 years, and it was probably 24 years too long. But I didn't know it was bad until like the last 3 or 4 years. It's like, I was just going along working because my daughter was, long gone, grown by then. And it's like, she didn't need a father. But it was like, I didn't need to go to the church anymore. It's like, I gave that up. Not because he told me to or anything like that, but it's like my whole life revolved around not going to church, but seeing him, you know, like 3 or 4 times a week until it was only 2 times a week working. And eventually I moved into his family's house. So then I took care of his mom and I was taking care of this giant house and all these things. So my life revolved around him. And as long as I was doing that agenda and working on his projects, and it was still a good idea that I was working and paying for everything. I didn't realize that, I didn't know what narcissism was back then. So I just went along with the flow. And as long as you didn't poke the bear, it was fine. And, then I'm in my 60s. I'm going, I'm paying all this money. Hardly any's going. I didn't start saving for retirement till I was 60. It's like, well, that's too late. So there's another lesson learned. Start like when you're 20. Forget one Starbucks a week and put your money into a savings account for retirement. But I didn't know till my 60s. It's like, I didn't know. I started realizing, we should have a plan for retirement. We should have a plan for this giant house that I'm paying for. You know, how are we going to not have me pay for it? And then have me drop dead at 90, still doing somebody's books, you know? And it's like, I started standing up for myself and saying, hey, what about this? What about this? And, you know, saying, well, here's some things I'd like to hear from you as my partner. And I would just get this, you know, rolling eyes or eyes glazed over. And it's like,
he's not even open to trying not, to respect what you want.
No, totally not. It had to be his way or the highway. And but it was like for the first 20 years or so, I hardly ever saw a mean side because I was going along with his flow. So there were only a couple times where I really disagreed with him openly, and we were sitting in the prison visiting room, so he didn't want me to get up and leave to go cry. I had to just sit there and listen to his lecture. And, you know, and that was like, oh, this is awful. This feels terrible. And again, then the last 3 or 4 years, you know, I said, well, we've got to start having a plan. And then I was using, well, like, what other needs are not getting met? Oh, yeah, that and that and that. He never seemed to care about being very affectionate. And, you know, as we got, you know, almost to the end, because he was, you know, my weight goes up and down, and he didn't like it. And he never said I had to be a size 2. I'm never a size 2 ever. But he didn't like it when I was overweight, you know, so he tried, you know, bugging me about it. He tried to say, well, I'm really worried about your health. And because here's a guy who can, you know, oh, I'm a little overweight. And he could lose weight in a minute, you know. And he was always thin the whole time I knew him anyway. And yeah, it just drives me nuts. But, you know, at the end, it's like, well, you know, why didn't you want to be more affectionate? You know, you hardly even wanted to make out. It's like, you should have tried to be prettier.
That's so toxic.
You did not just tell your wife that, right?
Yeah, that's not right.
And he did. Yeah, no. Damn. And I wrote a book, and it mostly was during, I started before COVID and finished it during COVID. And it's like, well, you know, you weren't very supportive of my book. Well, you know, you started, well, a couple of things. You started your business in my house because I went back to self-employment, you know, while I was living in his house, because I used to be an employee. Yeah. Then, you know, I would go back and forth, and it's like, well, you turned your back on my needs. I go, well, my income was paying the bills. What part of that do you not get? and it's like, well, you paid for to publish your book. So number one, there you're paying for your book instead of putting money into the house, and you were not spending time on my creative projects. It's like, you know.
Oh man, selfish dude. Just wanted all the attention on him. Oh my God.
So, you know, we negotiated our relationship for like 3 years, because when COVID hit, I left California and his house, and I thought I was leaving it in the hands of a caretaker, but that blew up in our face. But anyway, that's another story. But I moved to Oregon to be near my daughter and be near people during COVID. You know, we had a little quarantine bubble going, and because there was no visiting at the prison for a year. So, you know, he assumed that I was leaving him just because I moved. It's like, no, you should have asked me. He blew up instead of asking me first. It's like, so, you know, a lot of things happened, and we tried to get it back on track. And it's just the more I tried to say what I needed, you know, and he just wasn't going to go there. It's like, yeah, this isn't going to work. This really isn't going to work.
What did he go to prison for?
He was charged and convicted of first-degree murder. So they said he masterminded a murder that happened in the San Francisco Bay Area in 1982, which he did not. But the kids that did it said he, you know, came up with the whole idea and helped them dump the body. So, but I totally believe he did not do that. And I've read all the transcripts and all that. And it's all very circumstantial. So there's actually no proof that he was actually on site when the murder happened. But that aside, he has a life without parole sentence. So, you know, just being married to somebody in prison is hard. But add to it when they're selfish. Really selfish. My God. Yeah.
Well, I mean, what tips can you give someone that is going through this, you know, in an abusive relationship, don't know what to do, don't know how to get out?
I would say, you know, a couple of things, because I've been through financial abuse, physical abuse, emotional, and, you know, narcissism. But, you know, if you're being hit and beat on, get the heck out of there. Call the police. I never called the police, and I should have, especially when he hit my toddler. A different guy. That was a different husband. But, you know, protect yourself and your kids. Just, there's no way about it. You know, it's like their community will help you. You know, or if you're in a church, the church will. It's like, I didn't even hardly go to my church. I mean, I didn't seek help from them, and I should have. I should have tattled on that Mormon that was hitting us. But I didn't.
Yeah, you should have.
You know, and again, take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. When you're really happy with yourself and know what you want and know what you need, there's nothing unselfish. There's nothing selfish about saying that and standing up for what you need. And when you're taking really good care of yourself, then you're going to even show up better for the people in your life. By my taking these steps to untangle from that last marriage and move here closer to my daughter, we've done a lot of healing on our relationship. And that's, you know, it's like, I should have worked on that years ago, but I didn't live near enough her to really talk in depth, because it was just phone calls and quick visits to her and the grandkids. And, you know, by then you're just playing with everybody and you're running around doing fun things. So, so it's afforded me the opportunity to heal with her, which has been very nice.
That's really good.
And I can show a better example to her and my granddaughters, you know, to how to show up for yourself and how to take care of yourself. And, you know, I just like, I'm working. Well, I have worked with a therapist. I mean, I've been in therapy for now for years. So that's another really good thing. But, you know, self-care, you know, and if you can't afford a massage, at least go for a walk or something. I walk every day almost.
Oh yeah.
And that is so precious. And I fortunately live in a great neighborhood, so I don't have to go very far, and I could be in a park or just there's trees everywhere here. So, you know, you could do a lot of little things to take care of yourself. I journal. I have a gratitude practice.
Oh yeah, that's important.
I have my cats.
The cats.
My cats love me.
Yeah, I love my dogs.
Oh, good. Well, I grew up with all animals, but you know, I don't have time to walk the dog and clean up after them. I have to clean up after the cats. But anyway, it's like I love my cats. And
yeah,
it's just, I was gonna say, I was in therapy. Oh, well, so one of my mentors, you know, we're working on some self-improvement stuff. And it's like, I now have a written bucket list of what I want in my next partner or my last partner or, you know, and it's getting longer. Well, I don't know if it's getting longer, but I keep thinking, oh yeah, that's a good thing. That's a good thing and you have to be willing to be that kind of person too. You know, you're going to attract, you know, be the kind of person you want to attract.
Yes.
So,
yes,
and I've always known that. I just haven't done that. So
yeah.
I've done a lot of self-improvement inner work and to really work out the kinks. And you know, I just finished writing the first draft of my second book, all about the narcissist. And it's like,
oh okay.
Oh, this feels good. This is, and that's a very healing process. So even if you don't want to publish a book, maybe you want to just write out what you're going through and write out your feelings. And you know, because part of it, like, I'm supposed to say how I felt when that guy hit me, or when he was talking really mean, and you know, it's like, I'm reprocessing that on paper. And for me, and writing doesn't work for everybody, but for me, it's really turned into a really good healing tool. And now I'm thinking of all these books I need to write about other things.
It's very relaxing. Like, I'm telling you, I love writing as well. And your first book, Midlife Magic, what is that about? Is it like your change? You got a new leaf on life?
Well, in my 40s, when I met number seven, I basically, half of it, the first half is about the first six. Well, there's my childhood and then, you know, why I got married in the first place and then why I kept getting married. But each husband has a chapter and, you know, why we got married, how we met, what went wrong, that kind of thing. And then there's three chapters about the last husband's, like how we met, what it's like to be a prison wife, and then how he got me interested in UFOs and aliens and fairies and witchcraft. And I already had a gift for ghosts, but I hadn't remembered that. So I tapped back into that. And so that's pretty cool because my life pretty much, you know, took a big turn. You know, I left the church and not through any trauma or anything. I just left it because I didn't need it anymore. And all of a sudden I'm looking at the world with a whole different set of eyes. And it's like, oh, look at all these amazing things I get to learn about. And I'm still learning about them. And I love sharing that. So it's all part of my life now. And then now in my 60s, because I've left him, things, my life is just, I'm on fire at the moment.
I've been up since
the middle of the night, but it's like, I know, it's like all of a sudden I'm letting the real me out. And I didn't really know what that was, or I always had her, you know, suppressed or hidden inside. And I'm really letting that her come out. And it's so exciting.
Yeah. And I
so
can exciting. See the glow in you.
Thank you.
It's like, it's amazing.
You know, I know I screwed up a lot, but okay.
All of us have it. We're human.
I just, you know, my screwing up was, you know, I did a lot of marriages. It's like, I didn't do drugs. I didn't drink.
But it's
you know,
more
I didn't
wisdom.
Do a lot of other things. Yeah. And, you know, I've learned a lot of things. Will I do things way differently? Sure. And do I ever need to get married again? Not really. Because there aren't going to be no more babies. And I don't really need a piece of paper anymore.
You can just have a life partner, they say. And a lot of, like they say, Gen Z and millennials are doing that. Just having a life partner.
You know, that would be fine.
Someone that's going
to
be there.
That would be fine, you know, to have fun with me and have similar interests and, you know, not look at me like I'm, oh, you're just a girl. It's like, I told the last husband, you know, one of the last times I saw him, I go, you know, I'm a pretty amazing person. And again, I got the eyes rolling. It's like, oh, you SOB. Like, how could you be married to me for over 20 years and not know that I'm an amazing person?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, but they don't want you to know. It's like, he knows it. He knew it.
I know.
But he didn't want you to know.
You know, I'm not in touch with him at all anymore. I haven't talked to him since April, except for a couple of texts, because we're still trying to like negotiate a couple things, but I work through the trustee for his trust. I don't talk to him at all. I don't write him anymore. We're just not in touch, you know, but, and he's probably miserable. Sorry.
He doesn't have somebody like to latch onto, you know, he doesn't have your
he doesn't have somebody taking care of all the stuff and
yeah,
just going along with, you know, I told, the book is going to be called The Prince Was Wrong, because that's his nickname. Ooh. And he always thought he was right. And it's like, I tried tell him, it's like, you know, you're not always right. Oh, well, yes, I am. And everybody else likes my answers. Like, oh, well, I don't.
So, oh, no, so he must have been a Leo or Sag.
I'm a Leo. He's a Cancer.
Oh, that's okay.
But I'm Leo.
Leo women are usually cool. Leo men are
not
something
so much.
Else.
Oh,
okay. No, good. They're like the peacocks. They're similar.
Oh, thank
like,
you. Okay.
A lot of them are
I'll
narcissists.
Remember that. I'll remember that when
I'm not gonna say all of them.
I'm dipping my toes into the dating world. It's not easy.
So how's it like? That's a good question. So how's it going for you in the dating world?
Well, I haven't really dated. You know, I went on an app for I went on like three apps for a week and shut them all down because it was terrifying. And I kept getting all these creeps. And I went back on one app and a couple guys have liked me. So I've chatted a little bit. One's dropped out and the other one and I, you know, we've had one phone call. So it's like, so, and we're supposed to have another phone call and meet in person after Thanksgiving, cause I'm going away.
Okay.
So, you know, that's as far as I've gotten, which is fine.
Keep going, and that's fine.
There is no rush, but it's like, oh, why isn't anybody liking me?
Oh, but, you know, I'm
very specific. I want to meet people in my area. They have to know right out that I hardly drink. I don't want to be around smokers and I'm not doing pot. And I'm a witch, people. Come on.
All right now, witches. Yes, let's get into the
witch. Got to accept that or just move on.
Yeah, that's the thing too. You know, because sometimes you date a Christian guy. I'm not knocking Christians, but if you're into different things like spiritual things and crystals and stuff, some people think that's witchcraft, but it's not. They're just not reading about
right.
that stuff.
Right.
You know,
because right.
somebody in the church can be just as evil or more evil than somebody.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
I put right there on the dating app, you know, I love my cats and this and that and my magical practice. And so at least the two guys that have chatted, and what is your magical practice? And I've told them, and it's like, you know, again, one, he's dropped off. He didn't even say goodbye. He just dropped off. And the other one was perfectly fine with that. You know, it's like, and I said, oh, okay, don't freak out. I've been married 7 times. Well, that's okay. It's like, okay.
Well, at least you're being honest, you know.
I know. It's like, you know, at my age, what have I got to lose? It's like, I don't have time to play games. I don't want to play games. And I'm just going to put it all out there. I mean, again, like I told this guy, it's like, I'm on my second book. I'm not trying to hide anything.
You know, that's true, because I want to see if you can handle me, you know, doing what I want to do in my element.
I was teasing my daughter. I said, you know, I should give, you know, anybody that wants to date me, I should give them a copy of my first book so they can read, you know, the heavy stuff. They can read all about the men and we can skip that conversation and they can read about the woo.
That's right. And know that you overcame some stuff and that you're not playing. So let's get into your witchcraft. Like, what is it that you practice? And
What do I practice?
Yes.
Oh, well, mine is very simple. I'm really low key. I'm totally a white witch. I'm solitary. I do a lot of gratitude. I set intentions. I commune with nature. I love being in nature. I talk to all the animals I pass by. You know, I'm saying hi to the squirrels and the birds. And I'll tell you, it's like I had back in California, I lived with, you know, his family home was on a big piece of property. It was like it seemed big. It was a quarter of an acre, which seems big. But you know, the house was over here. And then you had this huge part of, you know, terraced hillside. And the deer would just come and go and come and go. And I'd leave food out for the deer. I left food out for all the animals and stuff. And I think January of the year 2020, or I don't know. It's like, you know, sometime in the last 3 years, there was one day in January where I had to get up early and go get cat food because I was out and they were screaming. You can't.
Oh, no.
And usually there's just one or two mom deers with their babies in the yard. Like, that's cool. And then this one day, okay, look, oh, there's a bunch of moms and their babies, and they're, you know, running from the back and running down the hill and going, you know, jumping down on the driveway and going across the street. And then all of a sudden I look again up on our hill and there's all the bucks. And it's like, oh my gosh, this was a whole herd was in the backyard and I didn't even know it. And usually when there's just one or two moms, I'll talk to them and they stare at me like I'm okay, lady, you know, tell us what you know. And then, but these five bucks, it was like, it must've been a grandpa and a dad and a couple of kids. And this one that looked like his antlers weren't very big yet. So, but the grandpa's antlers were like this huge rack of antlers. And he was like stately and standing up at the top of the hill. And it's like, okay, you go talk to her, kid.
Wow.
And so like this two-year-old, you know, came down the side of the hill and I'm just standing there in the driveway and it's early morning. And we just had this moment, this communal moment where it's like, hi, how are you? It's like, I'm not going to hurt you. Thank you for being in my yard. And that was so special. Wow. So special. And another time there was just a mom. And I think it was maybe just one of the times where I already moved out of the house. And yeah, this makes me cry. And there was a mom there and we had a really special, like the whole vortex opened up and there was like this energy going between us. Like, yeah, we're communicating and this is so cool. And it's like,
Yeah, animals that, know.
The animals and I are just tight. And,
wow.
And you know, it's like, and I can call on helpers and fairies and spirit guides to help me and help me know what to say when I'm giving talks and things like that. And it's like, and this little thing isn't necessarily because I'm a witch, but it's like last night I went to a local bookstore and they had a psychic medium there. And so, I mean, you can just feel the energy of all the spirits just hanging. Well, I could just, it was just buzzing with energy of people who wanted to come in and give messages and hang out. It's like, yeah, this feels really good. I love this.
Yeah. I mean, I believe, you know, that, so there's energies, different energies out there.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes I'll use a pendulum to, you know, ask yes or no questions. So little divination things. And sometimes my daughter will ask me for help with certain things she's trying to. So, you know, I'm really, the intuition has improved a lot, especially since I've left him.
Yes.
You know, because I can ask the spirit and whoever to come in and help. But again, what I tell everybody is witchcraft is just, I shouldn't say it's just science, but it is just science. It's natural laws. And for me, it's like honoring Mother Earth because it's so special. And, you know, why wouldn't we? But it's my connection to nature, and it's all enhanced by this other cool stuff. And one of my favorite witch mentoring persons is deceased. And I talked to her through a medium. And she goes, you know, it's just all about the intention. You don't always have to do all the fancy stuff. You know, do I have tools? Sure. Do I use them? Hardly ever.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're cool.
You don't even need an altar.
No, but I have places that I use for my altar. So it's like, it's just very simple for me. And infusing the natural energy into things and some other witchy teachers I know, it's about using whatever to create your best life.
Yes.
Now, do I know people who go to the dark side? Sure. Do I go there? No.
Yeah. You don't have to go there. Like that's the thing.
It's like, and I'm, now that I've become, allowed myself to become even more open to it, it's like,
everything's, you know, coming
life
right
is,
at
life
you.
Is good. Life is good.
Life is good, right? Because I'm
is good.
same part as you. I'm tapped in, man. And I'm seeing stuff all over the place. It's amazing. Oh,
cool.
So you're a speaker for the UFOs.
I am.
Now that's interesting. How did you get in that? Because that's a job I would like to do one day.
And I don't do it as much now, but the ex was in the military, and as was his dad, and they were both military intelligence. And most of their career, they were dealing with military dealings with UFOs and aliens and space missions and dealing with aliens here on the planet and meeting with them and fighting them and, you know, all the good and the bad. And sometimes the ex worked for the U.S. military. Sometimes he worked for other agencies. So he can't talk about his U.S. stuff, but he's told me a lot about other things and stuff that he can and he won't get in trouble for. And, you know, we're kind of on the fringe with what I have said. And, you know, you go, okay, don't say names when you go to England or they'll throw you in prison. It's like, okay, but I'll be over here and tell you who was involved with their stuff. But so I learned a lot about military UFO related things and how the military's dealt with that over the years and different alien species, you know, friendly and not friendly. So there are many friendly species that I personally would love to meet. And I used to go, you know, once he kind of tapped in and told me about all this stuff, then he started writing reports about some of the things he did or just basically some information. And so I, you know, started out at a conference, and then I had a booth at that conference the next year. And then somehow people were starting to hear about me. And back then, I don't think there were podcasts like in the early 2000s, but I was getting on radio shows. And then I got invited to speak in England, and then I got invited to speak in the US. So I've been to England 4 times to speak at 3 different conferences there. And I've spoken at several in the United States. So, and people aren't really asking me to speak at those anymore. I mean, everything shut down for COVID, but it's like, I just gave a talk like Halloween weekend in Northern California. It was called the Mystical Minds Convention. It was lovely. It was paranormal UFO and witchy stuff and magic stuff. And it was lovely because then I could, and I've had my own UFO sightings, and, you know, so I can say I've had interactions with UFOs. I've never seen an alien, and I have personal experience with ghosts and fairies and all this cool stuff. So it's like, but I've come to realize how universally connected all of that is. The aliens, the fairies, the witchy stuff. And because certain aliens have fairies, like elementals, certain aliens have witches. And we're just all connected in this greater galactic community, and they would love for us to like step it up. And so we're ready to like really interact with them on a more personal basis. But so I was able to like stop being his spokesperson and really go into what speaks to my heart and share that. So that,
That's amazing.
So I'm either on podcast now for that, you know, the paranormal woo, or all the toxic relationship stuff. So
I like a mix. I like hearing a mix of it all because I'm interested in all of it.
Well, and you know, to me, it's all connected anyway, because yes, I want to teach people about aliens and I want to sit down and have relationships with them and have that connection, you know, but so we need to be nice and we need to be nice to each other as humans. So, you know, it kind of all ties together anyway, like, you know, you're not going to get along with the aliens if you can't even get along with your husband, basically.
That part. And I think some aliens are shape-shifting, you know, they're just changing into human form, but we don't know.
I used to know a lovely woman who freely admitted that she was a cute little lizard being from outer space. Oh. You know, that, and she chose to come here. So some of them do take on human form because they have a mission here to help us with. And, you know, sometimes there are aliens who can shapeshift. They don't all shapeshift because it's hard to change your atomic structure. Some of them can cloak. Wow. Some of them can, like, put on an appearance, like a holographic appearance, so you might think they look human. So.
Wow.
Yeah, you don't want to see that they're a scary reptilian with a really sharp
teeth. Yeah, because we're not going to be used to that at that point. We're going to say, what?
No, no. But you know, it's like the Men in Black movie is so true.
Yeah, because there were some stories on, there's a guy that saw an alien in his backyard out here in Vegas. And he was trying to tell the story on TikTok, and then he just disappeared off the map.
Oh, really?
Like, he just disappeared. But he saw the alien in his backyard. The story went viral. Cool. And he went on TikTok to talk about it, and they just took his TikTok video down, and he totally disappeared. So I know they're out here. They didn't kill that guy because he let it go, you know. But there's other people that kept poking the bear and got,
well,
you know.
And Jurassic World. I love Jurassic World because there is a species that is that Jurassic, that is that Velociraptor. And they work with our military. And they still look like dinosaurs, and they're beautiful, and they run fast, and they can eat you, but, you know, they do choose to work with the good human. Well, they choose to work with our human military anyway. So, you know.
Wow.
They don't all look like humans.
No, they do not. No.
There's cats and dogs and reptiles and all kinds of things.
If there's good aliens, they can come out here and help this world. The good aliens can come.
There are some, you know, and Earth is a wonderful planet. And sometimes they just want to come here for vacation or for scientific reasons. There are some not nice ones or unfriendly ones that want to come and take over, and they work with the terrorists, and, you know, that's not good at all. But there are lots, and they do want to embrace us in a galactic community. They're just waiting for us to, you know, raise ourselves and our energetic vibrations and however you call that. But, you know, they really want us to enlighten ourselves or just, you know, be on a better level so we can communicate with them.
Yeah, I believe that. They're just sitting there watching us trying to figure out what the heck, you know, can they
and there
get
are
it
some
together?
Who help protect us. And there are some who do want to help us, you know, they want to help us. And there are some whose job it is to make sure not as many bad aliens get here, you know. So, and you know, there are some species that this is where they originated and they want to help us, like the raptors, the velociraptors in Jurassic World, like this is where they started. And so they want to help protect the Earth.
Wow, that is so interesting.
Yeah, they're fascinating. They're a delightfully fascinating species, and they're very spiritual. So,
I believe that they're definitely more tapped in than we are. Yeah, I mean, guys, the America want us just working every day, and I'm like, man, I want to do something fun. I want to do something spiritual. Like, I don't want to work a regular job every day. You know,
I don't know what they do for work, but you know, they have a military system, they have a political system, their empire is run by an empress, they believe in the arts and fine culture and education, and they believe in good family values. So, you know, they're very strict with their children, but they like to have, they have lots of children. And their leathers are beautiful colors and things, and
Maybe one day I'll meet one.
I know. It's like I just want to have a piece of property where we can all have tea and sit and chat with each other.
I would love it. I'm sure they're super smart. So before we go out, I want to, let me get your website and information. Well, actually I already have it, but I always tell people to shout it out on the show.
Okay.
Where they can buy your stuff.
Sure. The Midlife Magic is by my married last name, Richards. So Joanne Richards. It's on Amazon and everything. It's also on dragonhillbooks.net if you want a signed copy. And then I've got a new site being developed, joannefawcett.com. So you can already email me at info or at joanne@joannefawcett.com to get on the email list to start hearing about the, I'm going to have a newsletter and hear the updates about the book and all kinds of things. And I'm on Facebook, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Instagram under Joanne Fawcett. So you can find me.
Yay! I'm definitely going to get your book. It sounds very interesting. It's up my alley. I'm trying to get back into my reading more because I love to read.
And it's like 110 pages. It's a quick read.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. It's not long.
I can read that in one day.
Yeah. It's a weekend read. Yes.
Oh, weekend read. I love it.
Coffee, well, a couple, you know, coffee. It's like a few. Yeah. You can finish it in a weekend or even a day. It depends on if you have to stop and take care of people.
Look, I don't have any kids or nothing, so okay. I'm chilling, well, take care of go. Myself. And help my mom out. But, you know, other than that, I'm good. Yeah. I sit with a glass of wine, and I mean, it's like spiritual to me, reading a book with a glass of wine and just looking, just chilling, you know. That's one of the best things for me.
Well, thank you.
And what's a saying and a quote that you go by? A saying or a quote that you go by?
Oh, I can't quote it off the top of my head, but there's a Raptor senator who gave a talk at a conference in Iran in 1971. And the gist of the quote is how infinite and abundant this universe is. So basically there's room for all of us, and we're all wonderful, and we're all unique and fabulous creatures. So, you know, don't judge a book by its cover, I guess. That's my two cents, but you know, yeah, that when I read the whole thing, I'm crying every time. So pretty much.
Oh man, that's deep. And don't compare yourself to anyone else, y'all. Y'all are, everybody's important.
No, yeah, exactly. We all have unique ability. I know, it's like, I'm sorry, I'll add one more thing if I may. Every being in this universe has something to offer. And that's my spirit. That message has come through my spirit guides before. Everybody, every being, human, non-human, has something to offer.
Yes, Ashe, I believe that. Yeah. You have to come back on here and we got to teach people how to tap into their spiritual guides, into their ancestors, because some people don't know how to tap into their spiritual guides. So that'll probably be another show.
Because that's going to be another book about my ancestors. So yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, that's going to be interesting, because a lot of people don't know how to tap into that. You know, they go to the church and stuff, and that's fine, but they got to learn how to tap into their higher power, tap into their ancestors and spiritual guides, because that's going to get them to that next level. So, you got to do something on that one.
Okay.
But thanks for coming on to the pod. I'm so grateful.
Thank you so much. Thanks for what you're doing. This is great.
You're welcome. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Subscribe and share. And be safe out there, y'all. Peace.
Take care.